98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Burns and Gambo, the 4 o'clock reset. 4 o'clock reset.
Here we go, the top stories of the day today on the Burns and Gambo show, the 4 o'clock reset here on 98.7 FM, Arizona sports station. We start with the Arizona Cardinals, the defensive line banged up going into tomorrow night's Thursday night affair against the Seattle Seahawks. Corey Peters officially out for the rest of the year.
Yeah, Corey will be out with his injury, and D-line wise, a little bit banged up there, but we'll have enough guys to play, and that's all you can ask for. He's a tough loss, like I mentioned the other day, based on his leadership, his character, what he brings to our locker room, and we're just praying for a speedy recovery.
No Jordan Phillips as well, so you're looking at Josh Morrow, Angelo Blackson, Trevon Coley.
Eric Swann ain't walking through that door.
He is not. Michael Dogby might be. They could call him up from the practice squad.
He might walk through that door.
He might walk through that door, but no Zach Allen, no Rashard Lawrence, no Lucky Fotu. Jordan Phillips are going to be really thin on the defensive line.
Yeah, you'll rely a lot on, Blackson's been good for them. Coley's been good for them. They'll just have to, patchwork this together right now. For this game against Seattle. I mean, Seattle's dealing with injuries too. Everybody this time of year is dealing with injuries, but that's one position that's really going to be tough for the Cardinals.
Yeah, meanwhile, I mentioned no Lawrence or Allen. Here's Kingsbury on that.
It doesn't appear either will be back this week. We'd like to get him back soon. Obviously, there's a big need there, but hopefully the next couple of weeks those guys will be back with us.
Well, one thing's really clear. This mini bye that the Cardinals get after this, they need it bad.
That's a good point. That's a really good point.
They need this mini bye real bad.
Yeah, they'll play Thursday. They'll have Friday, Saturday, Sunday off. And then, I'm sure the Cliff will give everybody a few extra days off. So, yeah, it sucks that you got to play so quickly. But the good news is that you're not going to play again for like 10 more days.
The Pac-12 is considering the possibility of letting healthy football teams who have had games canceled due to COVID to fill their schedule void with a non-conference opponent. Yep. Let me give you an example. ASU isn't playing Colorado this week because ASU can't. Colorado State can't play UNLV this weekend because UNLV can't. Can you arrange a Colorado State-Colorado game in a couple of days to give both of those teams? That seems to be on the table now for Pac-12 to at least consider.
Yeah. Which team did you say that they were going to play? Colorado.
ASU?
No, Colorado. You said that there was a team that they could play?
Colorado State.
Yeah,
Colorado State.
Yeah, that's the team that I saw too. So, they just want to play football games. So it makes a lot of sense. I am not against it at all. They need to find opponents for these teams if they're going to play.
Yeah, Utah State, Wyoming's been canceled. UNLV, Colorado State, Kansas, Texas got postponed.
How many we at right now? Just give me a number. How many we at? 13?
For the week, I think we're at 14 or 15 now.
15 was last week.
Yeah, I think so. According to reports, the Rockets, they're in no hurry to trade James Harden or Russell Westbrook, and they are willing to let things get, and here's the word, uncomfortable because of that.
There has been contact between the Rockets and Nets, but that hasn't been the case, I'm told, at least the last couple of days. And the contact that they did have was pretty preliminary and not of great substance. The Rockets are not showing any inclination to want to move quickly on a trade for James Harden or necessarily push for one with Brooklyn.
So in this game of chicken, the Rockets are basically saying, okay, yeah, we hear you want to leave. We don't have to do anything about it, and we're not going to. It's very similar to what the Cardinals did with Josh Rosen, right? Yeah, no, we don't have to trade Josh Rosen. We can keep both of them. Could you, though? Could you really?
No. I mean, with the Cardinals, I mean, you talked a big game and everything, but you weren't.
You couldn't
do
it.
In the end, you just knew you couldn't do it. It would have been a disaster.
And the Rockets are kind of in the same boat. You're talking a big game. Oh, we're willing to let things be uncomfortable. Are you? Are you going to keep James Harden and Russell Westbrook around, really? I mean, knowing that they both don't want to be there? I don't know, man. Seems like a bluff to me.
I would think it is, too. You could keep them. But you also want to make sure that you get the most value possible for each of those guys because they're talented players.
The 76ers are trading Al Horford, a lightly protected 2025 first-round pick, and the 34th overall pick in tonight's draft to the Oklahoma City Thunder for Danny Green. That move just coming down.
Yeah, it's just crazy to get off of that contract, man. They just signed Horford to that contract last year.
I know.
They gave him that big contract, huge money. And, I broke that story when Horford was going. I had a coach tell me that Horford was going to Philly, and we broke that story that he was going there. But, to get off that contract a year later is just crazy.
But our top story of the day today comes to us from the NBA tonight. As I just mentioned a second ago, is the NBA draft. The Phoenix Suns currently have the 10th pick overall in the draft. What's the latest? And I know you've been doing the Gambo thing. Sarah just mentioned it in the Sports Center update a second ago. I know you've been on both the shows already today, the morning show, the midday show with Bickley and Murata. What's the latest you're hearing about the Suns' intentions at number 10 in
tonight's
draft?
You know, all's quiet right now as the draft approaches. You know what I know and what I expect is that, you know, they're not looking at trading up in this draft, but they are looking at trading out or trading down. I spoke with a few teams over the last couple of days, and I know for a fact that one of those teams told me that they were in discussions with the Suns about taking the 10th pick and the Suns moving down to their pick. I don't want to tell you who it is or what pick it was, but I know there was some discussion. So Phoenix is definitely on the phones looking to move down in this draft, if not out in this draft, because I did speak with the team. But one, you know, the problem that team had is that the value at 10 is probably the value at like where they're picking. Is there a big difference between what you could get at 10 and what you could get a little bit later on in that draft? And that's the thing that everybody has to decide. There doesn't seem to be, you know, a big difference in the type of player you're going to get, you know, in that range. So, but I do know the Suns have worked the phones to try to make a trade to move down. Now, if they do move down, you know, then that changes everything from, you know, what I was expecting at 10. Because a lot of those players, you know, could be gone. So that, you know, a lot of the players that I ruled out, if they move down, well, those players could be back in just based on the fact that, you know, these other players that they like could be out of it.
There are two players, and we understand that a lot of these guys aren't household names. This is not exactly the household name draft in 2020 in the NBA. All right, we haven't seen college basketball since March. Well, there was no NCAA tournament. Our lack of familiarity with a lot of these guys. Okay, we get it. We can understand. We're in somewhat the same boat. But you are saying there are a couple of guys that would be on your list that the Suns are not anticipating that they're going to be there. One is the Israeli kid, Deni Avdija.
Yes.
Right? And
yeah.
I'm looking at a mock draft that says he's going to go fourth to the Bulls.
Yeah, there's been mock drafts that had him all over the map, but I don't see him as a player who will be there at 10. I just don't see him as a guy that's going to be there in that spot.
The other is Isaac Okoro, the wingman from Auburn, as a guy that they like. But again, the thinking is that he probably is going to be there. I'm looking at a mock that has him going the pick before the Suns at number 9 to the Washington Wizards.
Yeah, and so again, if one of those guys is available, then you know, the draft changes a little bit. So a lot of the evaluations and everything, the people that I speak with is based on what they're expecting and then misses who they're going to be. Now, if a player falls, and that's always the case that a player could drop, and that would be the Israeli kid or Okoro. If one of those fell and dropped, you know, or an Obi Toppin, if one of those guys dropped, then that changes a lot of the things. So, you know, I've got a list of players. You know, again, I've been able to rule out a lot of players and it is what it is. Like, you know, I can't narrow it down right now. I can't narrow it down any more than I already have. This is the best that I have. But I'm able to rule out Hayes. I'm able to rule out Halliburton. I'm able to rule out Terry. There's quite a few players that, you know, that we can rule out. And I could say, okay, I based on what I know, this is not a player that the Suns would draft. Halliburton is a guy that they don't really see as a point guard. They see him more as a combo guard, and he's not dynamic enough or quick enough to really play any of those positions, the one or the two. So, you know, Halliburton's a guy I don't see. Hayes is a guy that a lot of people have tied to the Suns. They have Hayes tied there, but I don't see Killian Hayes as one of those guys. R.J. Hampton, I do not have R.J. Hampton. Nesmith, I don't have him. Maladon, I don't have him. So, you know, Tyler Bay, Tyrell Terry, Cole Anthony. I do not have those players as being drafted by the Suns. I do not have them, you know. Now, the only thing I could change is if they move down.
Then that might change.
Yeah, right. Well, then, you know, sure, you might not have a choice because some of the guys that you like, maybe all the guys you like at 10 could be gone, and then you've got to pick with one of those guys.
We'll see if they move down. We'll see if they move the pick for a player. Some of the names, and we've got to take a break here, but I know some of the names you've mentioned. I'll just run through these real quick. Sadiq Bey, the forward out of Villanova. Kyra Lewis, the point guard out of Alabama. Devin Vassell, we spent a lot of time talking about the wing player out of Florida State. Jalen Smith, the forward from Maryland. Precious Achiuwa from Memphis is somebody that you've talked about. Tyrese Maxey, the guard from Kentucky. And, of course, Desmond Bain, the senior from TCU, the senior guard. Somebody we spent a lot of time talking about in large part because his age kind of fits the profile for what the Suns typically do under James Jones.
He could play right now. I mean, he could. That's a guy that they could fit in, and he could play some minutes right now. Yeah. And that's why, you know, he could be high on that list. And maybe, you know, maybe you don't get him at 10. Maybe you trade down and you get him a little bit later.
In the three games he's played against the Cardinals, DK Metcalf has been a non-factor in the receiving game against the Arizona secondary. How is Patrick Peterson going to do it again? Is he going to do it again? Does he have another one in him?
Did it again.
We'll see if he does. Next on the Burns and Gambo Show. By the way, just real quick, a rumor I saw about the NBA draft online. Hoops Hype is reporting that the Oklahoma City Thunder, who just swung that trade for Al Horford with the Philadelphia 76ers.
Three first-round draft picks right now, right?
Yes, they do.
I think they have three first-round draft picks.
I believe they do, and they've got like 18 in the next seven drafts or so. They, according to Hoops Hype, are looking to flip recently acquired Kelly Oubre Jr. for a first-round pick. According to a report.
And that's where that's the one caveat to the deal that I just didn't really know the value of Kelly Oubre. Because that's where you'd be like, okay, you know, if you could get a first-round draft pick out of Kelly Oubre, depending on where that pick is, could you do a different deal and, you know, not send Kelly Oubre to Oklahoma City?
Yeah.
So that was the one thing we just never really, we just didn't know.
Yeah, so that's what's being discussed, reports, according to Hoops Hype. And the Thunder are calling around, seeing if they can get yet another first-round pick for Kelly Oubre Jr. in a draft day swap. Again, our draft coverage begins in about an hour and 10 minutes. The draft itself begins at 6 o'clock, and you can keep it right here on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station. And I promise you, we will bring you all the coverage. We've got our draft extravaganza coming up at 5:30 with Bick and Vinny and me and Gambo. We're all on together. In the meantime, of course, tomorrow, another really big game for the Arizona Cardinals. Quite frankly, one of the biggest that we've had around here in a while. The Cardinals, the Seattle Seahawks, Thursday Night Football, national TV audience. And once again, a chance for Patrick Peterson to do to DK Metcalf what Patrick Peterson did to DK Metcalf the last time. And it was, look, it's been really hot and cold with Patrick Peterson for the last couple of years. His moment 3 weeks ago against DK Metcalf was one of the best moments Patrick Peterson has authored in the last couple of years.
Yes.
He was great. I mean, he erased DK Metcalf from that game. Can he do it again? Here's Peterson in his own words.
Because DK is much more of a bigger body receiver. To me, I love those matchups because those are the type of guys I love to be physical. That's going to run pretty much straight down my line when I am in press. You know, it's a little bit more difficult for those guys, you know, to dip their shoulders and kind of get into a speed release. So, you know, those type of receivers, you know, play into my hands.
Interesting. The physical guys, the ones who are going to run more straight line, those guys play into his hands, he thinks.
Listen, the most important thing for Patrick Peterson, if Buddha gets his hands on a ball or Dre, block him. Just block him. Give them an extra set. Block him. Find a way to block DK. Don't let him run right past you. Block him. It was a key part. It was a key factor in them winning that football game as DK Metcalf was shut down. DK Metcalf was also shut down by Jalen Ramsey, so he's had some issues of going against, you know, top corners, elite-level corners, if you still consider Patrick Peterson elite. But he's had some issues in those two games against those good cornerbacks. So, you know, he's going to be looking to, you know, get off the ball and make some plays too. You know, maybe Russell, you know, knowing the reputation of Jalen Ramsey, Patrick Peterson not looking his way as much on those matchups, maybe that's part of it. But if I'm Seattle, I lost that game because that DK Metcalf didn't play well against the Cardinals, and I lost the game against the Rams that DK Metcalf didn't play well. So there might be more of an emphasis on making sure that you get some balls thrown his way.
Yeah, but at the same time, like we've talked about a lot today, there's also going to be an emphasis on not asking Russell Wilson to do as much as he's done recently because he's pressing a little bit, right? Trying to find that balance in the run game. Now,
there is no balance. Now, Hyde will come back, but Carson won't.
That
right?
sounds like the plan moving
forward.
Yeah, and
forward, Carson's
yes.
the better running back. I mean, Hyde's okay, but they just need something. And they'll probably, you know, who knows what level Hyde will be at. But you know, look, they got an easy schedule coming up after the Cardinals.
They do.
They got a super easy schedule. They play a lot of garbage teams. So they could be looking to just, look, you know, you don't want to lose this football game. You want to win. You want to still try to win the division. But they know that if they, you know, if they could just get past this, this is a mini buy for them, too.
Yep.
That they have a better chance of getting guys coming
back. Yeah, one of the Seattle Times writers even wrote, this is not exactly a make it or break it game for Seattle based off of their schedule. And I just looked it up.
I buy that, yeah.
And it's not. And here's the reason why. As soon as they're done with this game, they got the mini buy, obviously. They're at Philly. They've got the New York double whammy. They're home against the Giants, home against the Jets, and they're at Washington. Those are their next four games are three NFC East teams and the New York Jets. That's the Seahawks' next four games after this. So, yeah, their schedule lightens up considerably after they're done with the Cardinals.
And so that's why, listen, you still play. They're going to play to win the football game tomorrow. But they also know that they're getting close to getting, both running backs healthy.
Yep.
And look, Hyde might not be at full strength in this game. And if Carson's not available and the center situation's kind of, they understand that these 10 days off is going to be big for them not playing a game too.
Back to Patrick Peterson, because this morning the question was asked of Steve Keim. He did his weekly appearance with Doug and Wolf this morning, not Friday as he typically does. He was asked about Pat Pete. Is he still a shutdown cornerback in this league? A really interesting answer from Steve on that exact question.
I think Pat Pete is a very good corner, and I think the one thing that it's sort of like a quarterback throwing interceptions. Sometimes you don't know whose fault it is. And in Pat's case, if there are times where he's either beat or it looks like it's a blown coverage, or maybe he's too far off the receiver, there are times that, it could have been a zone. He should have had help. They were playing bracket. There's a number of things that go into that. So, The casual fan may look like Pat Peterson got beat, but he was actually playing the right coverage and supposed to have help inside. I'm not saying that there aren't plays that all of us would like to have back, but, there are other factors that play into it.
It's just a lot of unpack there, because he didn't call him a shutdown corner, said he was a very good corner, and then proceeded to give a bunch of reasons/excuses as to why Patrick Peterson isn't as good as he once was, or at least it appears that Patrick Peterson isn't getting his job done on the field. I thought that was a very kind of guarded answer about Pat Pete, and especially interesting given he might have seven games left in his NFL career with the Arizona Cardinals, right?
Yes.
We could be looking at the last of Patrick Peterson in a Cardinals uniform over these next 2 months.
Well, I can imagine, no Fitz and no Peterson next year. Fitz retired. Patrick Peterson's going to play. I don't know if he's going to play five more years. I doubt it. But he's going to play, next year. And he's still a good player. He's not the Pro Bowl player that he once was.
Right.
The elite level top cornerback, but he's still a good player.
And you know what?
It's just a matter of I'm not against bringing Patrick Peterson back on a 1 or 2 year deal if the money's right, but I'm against giving him any real money.
It's funny that you say that, because I was kind of thinking the same thing. I don't even think we need Patrick Peterson to be a shutdown corner anymore. I mean, that's elite level type stuff, right?
Not everybody has one.
And not everybody has one of those. I mean, that's a very rare club. Patrick Peterson used to be in that club, used to be the president of that club. He's not anymore. As long as he's a very good corner, as long as he's a good to a very good corner, I kind of think that's all the Cardinals need at this point. I don't think
having an elite closer in baseball. Not everybody has one.
No.
Not everybody has an elite closer.
And can you win a World Series without having an elite closer?
Yes.
Yeah, the Dodgers just did.
They didn't. Kenley Jansen wasn't closing games for them.
They don't have an elite closer.
Right.
Didn't matter, right? And I'm not saying this to cover for Patrick Peterson by any means. As long as he's good to very good, I think that's good enough for the card. If you were a shutdown, be great. Be awesome. Patrick Peterson of 5 years ago, fantastic. He doesn't have to be that guy.
If he's not shut down, the importance of the other guy on the other side being good is tenfold.
Yeah, well said. Absolutely. With injuries up and down the Cardinals defense, could tomorrow night in Seattle, finally, after 3 months, be the breakout game for the 8th pick overall in the NFL draft? We'll talk about it coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show. We're going to update the Twitter poll question of the day in just a moment, but first I want to pass this along, because I don't think Sarah had it in her SportsCenter update. I was listening to most of it.
The NBA update?
The Klay Thompson.
I would have been crying if I put that in my update. So.
According to Sham Sharania, Warriors star Klay Thompson suffered an apparent lower leg injury today and is undergoing tests to determine its severity.
Ruh-roh.
Sources tell The Athletic.
Oh, that's big.
That's all we know. I've seen nothing else beyond that very vague lower leg injury undergoing tests to determine severity. That's it. As soon as we see anything else, we'll pass it along. But that is a potentially significant development across multiple fronts in the NBA.
Well, you know what? If I'm this is just the way it is. If I'm Golden State and Klay Thompson's going to be out for the year, I'm not trading that pick. I'm gonna draft a young kid and understand that my rebuild's on its way, because Klay Thompson is going to be 31 years old in a couple months, and Steph Curry is, I think he's older. Steph Curry is 32 years old. He'll be 33 in March, and Draymond Green is, I think he's a little bit younger he's 30. I got three guys over 30.
Yep.
I mean,
got to start thinking about what's next.
Man, I got the second pick in the draft.
Yeah.
I could take Wiseman or Edwards or Ball.
Yeah.
Depending on what goes number one. If Clay's out, my goal of going for it all while these guys, you know, I wouldn't do it. I would say this is the message to me to draft a player and start over.
We'll keep an eye on that development. Let's update our Twitter poll question of the day with Sarah here.
Burns and Gambo need to know Twitter poll update, presented by Sanderson Ford.
Our draft coverage begins in an hour. The Suns are sitting at number 10. What are they going to do?
Exactly. Who do you think they should take? We've got four guys listed. Of course, Gambo, you have a list of seven players that you think are possibilities for the Suns tonight, but we focused on four guys because Twitter poll limitations. So, of the following four guys, who do you think the Suns should take? Sadiq Bey from Villanova, Devin Vassell from Florida State, Kyra Lewis from Alabama, or Desmond Bane from TCU?
Bey or Vassell and Eileen Vassell?
Bane. I'm going Bane.
All right.
Okay, please don't
I think
do that
they like this
again.
Shock the world type of, you know, guy, picking a guy that, okay, they'll take the senior.
Are we going to have another That's So Love Bro moment?
I don't know. But if they take Desmond Bane, I might have to break into my Bane impersonation.
Don't do it.
I might have to. I might just
to see who else is in the draft.
I might have from TCU. Yeah, probably nobody who's going to have like a Coby White. What are the results so far?
42% of our voters say Devin Vassell is who the Suns should take from those four players. 22% go with Kyra Lewis. 21% say Sadiq Bey. 15% go with Desmond Bane.
All right. That's the poll question. As always, you can find it on the Burns and Gambo Twitter page. One word, @ Burns and Gambo is where you can find us on social media. In the meantime, for the Arizona Cardinals today, coupled with the announcement that Corey Peters is going to be out for the year, Cliff Kingsbury today also provided an update on Devondre Campbell.
Corey will be done for the remainder of the season, and Devondre will be a game-time decision. And we definitely feel Isaiah is in a place where he can play a ton of snaps and start if need be. We like the way he's progressed, and we like the way we brought him along. I think it's kind of happened organically where he feels more and more comfortable. The game slowed down for him a lot, and he's out there playing at a much higher level.
If Devondre Campbell doesn't go, and even if he does tomorrow night, it sounds like it's just about go time for the 8th pick in the NFL draft for the Cardinals and Isaiah Simmons.
Good. I mean, just good. I mean, you put it down with 35 snaps the last two games.
32 each the last two.
32 each the last two games. You know, this is up. The game that he had the interception.
Seattle.
The Seattle game. What do you matter? What do you have? Five reps in that game?
I think he had five or six snaps. I think that was his fifth snap.
Five snaps.
Of an overtime game. Yeah.
So they did take that success that he had and built on it and his confidence, and he's gotten out there more. I mean, 32. Now they're saying good things about him. And now, hey, listen, now you may need to play a whole lot. He looks, you know, here's the thing. You know, you didn't notice him at all on the field in the first 6 weeks because he wasn't playing. Now you notice him. Oh, there's Isaiah Simmons. Oh, he's pressuring right there. And he's always right there. So now you see the kid's a unique talent. There's no doubt in my mind he's going to be a very, very good football player. It took some time. Cliff actually credited him for being patient.
He did.
Right? He credited him for being patient.
It was Vance Joseph who did. Let me play you a couple of Vance Joseph cuts on Isaiah Simmons on how he's improving and he's being patient.
He is definitely getting better. You know, the Miami game, he played more snaps at the Sam and the Mike linebacker and dime. He played some Mo this week. He played some nickel. So he is definitely coming along fast now with more reps and more you know, time on the job. It's been impressive. You know, it's been 2 weeks in a row where he's playing like an NFL linebacker. He's playing some nickel. He's covering receivers. So he is becoming what we thought he was going to be when he was drafted in the top 10. And to his credit, he's been patient. He's been frustrated, but he's been patient and waiting his turn and learning and working in practice. And it's showing in the games. You know, we've got to play him more because he can help us win, and that's what we want from Isaiah. And he's been patient enough to wait his turn, but yeah, it's time.
It's time, and there it was. That's the one I was looking for. It's time. It's time. He's been patient. He's been frustrated, but he's been patient.
Well, I'm glad that he's frustrated. I'm glad that he's frustrated. It shows that's a good sign that he's frustrated.
Absolutely.
But now you got to build on it. I mean, now, okay, listen, you went from 5 to 35, 32 snaps. You like it. Now you want to go from 32 to 50? You want to play 60? You want to start playing 80% of the snaps? Well, now you've got to go do it against Seattle. And if he does it against Seattle, who knows?
Yeah.
Maybe that's the... You know, maybe that's the start of him being the main guy at that linebacker spot.
Again, it's not the end all be all. It's just kind of a guide. Sometimes it's right, sometimes it's wrong. Sometimes we agree with it, sometimes we don't. But Pro Football Focus, very complimentary of Isaiah Simmons his last couple of games, mentioning that he's logged 32 snaps in each of the last two games. He's gotten a grade of 64.6 and 78.1. in his last two games, which indicates that when he's getting this time on the field, he's using it very well. He's playing very well when he's on there. And he was very active in that game against Buffalo. It was pointed out he had two total pressures from six blitzes. He was in coverage several times during the game. He was thrown at four times. He allowed a couple of catches, but he also broke up one of the incompletions. So that versatility that we're talking about with Simmons,
yeah,
he's rushing the passer. He's pressuring the passer. He's dropping back into coverage. He's breaking up passes. Honestly, a lot of the things we've been seeing out of Devondre Campbell so far this year, Isaiah Simmons has been doing in small batches these last few games for the Cards.
Yeah, you don't want to see the kid have a setback, right? I mean, that's the thing. I mean, and you would imagine his highs and lows rookie season, but you know, you're hoping you're not coming in one day and, oh my God, that guy Isaiah Simmons killed him. The guy can't play. Get him back on the bench. That's what you're hoping for. You hope he holds his own. Now, if he makes great plays, he makes great plays. But what you're hoping for is you don't want that setback. You don't want that, you know, you don't want him to lose the confidence
right.
that he has gained over these last few weeks with the extra play in
That's
time.
Such a good point. And look, if Campbell can go tomorrow, then you can continue to bring along him slowly. Right? You can continue to kind of spoon feed him bite-sized morsels of playing time and watch him grow slowly. It might frustrate him. If Campbell can't go tomorrow, and again, you heard Cliff say it's a game-time decision, then it's the Isaiah Simmons show, and let's see what he's got against one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, right? Against a
whose confidence has to be shaken a little bit right now. It
has to be
shaken a little bit.
Yep.
He's getting hit all the time. He's getting so many, and again, everybody's talking about the interceptions with Russell Wilson. Look how many sacks the last 2 weeks. Look how many quarterback hits the last 2 weeks. He's taking a beating out there, so he's a little shaken.
Yeah. When we come back on this Wednesday, it's been only a couple of days since they were in the trade that brought Chris Paul here to Phoenix. A lot has happened over the last 48 hours for Ricky Rubio and Kelly Oubre. We'll fill you in coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show. Promise you an update if we have it, and we have a minor update on the potential Klay Thompson injury. Adrian Wojnarowski has now chimed in after Sham Sharania's report that Klay Thompson suffered an apparent lower leg injury today and is undergoing tests. Woj doubled down on it. Klay Thompson will undergo testing within the next few days on a leg injury suffered in a workout in Southern California today. The severity is unclear. He missed the 2019-2020 season with a torn ACL in his left knee. According to Woj, this possible injury involves his right lower leg.
Oof.
So not the same leg.
That's right. It doesn't matter, though, right? An injury to your leg?
Well, I know. If it was
the same one, you'd be more worried?
Well, you would think, not that it was more likely, but you'd go, oh, God, did he tear it again? Right? Was there something wrong with the ligament? Was there something wrong with the ACL repair that they did in the left leg? That was sort of my... I think knee-jerk, pardon the pun, reaction to this was that it might have been the same leg. It sounds like it's a different one, so maybe it's, I don't know, something entirely different. Who knows? Still bad news.
Yeah,
potentially bad news.
Yeah, I mean, they figured they'd get the band back together, Steph, Clay, and Draymond, and go for it, you know, this year, and that's why there's been so much talk that they'd be willing to trade, you know, their pick in the draft to try to get some help at that spot. And now again, it's tough for Golden State. If I know that Clay's going to be out a while, I might keep the number two pick and just draft myself a young player to start the rebuild process.
And again, we're never going to celebrate another guy's injury,
But if we're just being realistic about this.
I didn't even think about it.
If we're just being realistic.
Yeah.
And Klay Thompson has some sort of significant injury.
Yes.
We've all just been penciling in the Golden State Warriors as a team that's going to return to prominence this year. They might not if they don't have Klay Thompson. And if they don't, that might be one less team the Phoenix Suns have to worry about in the West. Just saying.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just saying.
I didn't think about that angle. But, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, Golden State was a team that you had ahead of Phoenix.
Yeah.
Even with getting Chris Paul, you had them ahead. You take Klay Thompson out. Now, I think you're ahead of them.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're ahead of them if you take Klay out. So, you know, Klay's one of the best players in the game. So with him, you know, without him, then you know, defenses can really work on stopping Steph.
Yeah.
And because then you don't got Klay knocking down shots all over the court.
Chris Paul acquired by the Suns 2 days ago going into tonight's draft night. Ricky Rubio and Kelly Oubre Jr. are out. Which one would you like to hear about first, Gambo? I leave it up to you.
Ricky Rubio.
Ricky Rubio gave an interview to a Spanish newspaper, magazine, media outlet.
Was it Rubio or Ricky Ricardo?
It was Ricky Rubio.
It was Ricky Rubio. Okay, Ricky Rubio. Okay.
It required Google Translate, which might not have done the best job translating this, okay? Because I'm certainly not going to. I do not speak Spanish. But the quotes make it sound like Ricky might be a little bitter about this. Okay, again, this was washed through the Google Translator, so take it for what it's worth. But after being traded, quote, "It was a surprise, especially because of the communication that there has been. When there were rumors about my transfer, I called my people and they told me my name was not on the table." I'm sure by transfer he meant trade.
Okay.
"When there were rumors about my trade, I called my people and they told me my name was not on the table." And he said, "Look, I understand it's a business. By signing a contract, you accept the conditions, but there are ways and forms. Players are privileged, but those who are in charge of these things have to understand that in addition of being players, we are also people."
They don't have to understand that. It's a business. It's a business. I don't have to stand. What does that mean? You sign a contract. You ask for no trade, or don't sign a contract, or sign a one-year deal. So you want to control your own destiny, sign a one-year deal. Then you control your own destiny.
He even addressed that, too. And again, it got real choppy with the translation, but he basically said that if you don't want these things to happen to you, you have to be the best in the world so you can dictate your own outcome. So you can make your own decisions, so you can control your own destiny. That's basically what he said. The only way to really stop it is to be so good that they can't trade you unless you sign off on it. And so he kind of addressed that.
They can't trade you unless you sign off on it.
Like you're an elite player. Like you're a... Like you're James Harden, okay. Right?
Or Chris Paul.
Or Chris Paul, right. I mean, Chris Paul's a future Hall of Famer. He dictated where he went. James Harden is trying to dictate where he went. Anthony Davis dictated
he
went.
You know, that's 1% of the league.
Oh, I know. And he's saying is, if you really, I'm not trying to cast him negatively because of this. All he's basically saying is the only guys in this league who really, truly can control where they're going are the top 1%ers, and I'm not one of them.
Yeah. So quit whining. What are you whining about? How much money? The Suns gave you $30 million. You're going to make that $30 million whether you're with Phoenix and somewhere else. Yeah. Somewhere else. It's not like you don't get the money. The money goes with you. You're still going to make that money.
Look, I'm with you.
You want to control your own destiny, sign 1 year deals. Don't sign a 3 year deal.
I don't have a lot of room of sympathy for guys who, you're a professional athlete.
Yeah, it comes with the territory.
This is the gig, man. Yeah. This is the gig. There are certain parts about all of our jobs where it just comes with the gig. And being traded to the NBA comes with the gig, man. What are you going to do? What are you going to do?
You're going to make your
$35 million dollars over the next 2 years.
You're going to
play the best you possibly can. Yeah. Here's another.
What did Rubio get? What was his contract?
Was it 3 years and $52 million? 3 years and 53.
Yeah. Stop whining, dude. You know this is what it is. They had a chance to upgrade. That's what happens in life. They had a chance to upgrade, so you got upgraded. And so, yeah, $51 million he got. You're still getting your $51 million.
Yeah, 3 years, 51.
You're still getting it. They're not taking that away from you.
Yeah, and my favorite Google Translate from this article, Ricky Rubio, who has done well with the Suns, a team that's just on the verge of being a playoff team, quote, "It is not a dish of good taste when you are involved in a project, you leave your skin and see that you are working, and the first change you have to go." I don't even know what that means. It is not a dish of good. So he's probably basically saying it doesn't. It's tough to swallow. I bet that's what he's saying. It's tough to swallow when you lead the Suns to that close to being good, and you're the one that goes out the door. So anyway, that's what Ricky Rubio's saying. I didn't expect him to like it. We saw the tweet from a couple days ago. You know, he wasn't like super bitter about it, but you could tell he wasn't.
But here's the difference. Like, Oubre's going to get a resounding ovation if this fan's back.
Mm-hmm.
Oubre. Rubio's not. He did a lot for this team. He's not going to get a resounding, you know, ovation.
He'll get
Oubre will, but not Rubio.
He'll get polite applause.
Yeah, okay.
He'll get polite applause. Oubre will be showered. Oubre will be celebrated.
Yeah. He was a Valley boy.
Yeah.
He was a Valley boy.
Well, I mean, he was here a little bit longer, too.
He wanted to be here.
But,
he took to the community. Yeah.
Yeah, and he was just so much more of a personality than Ricky Rubio was. Speaking of Oubre Jr., there's a report via Hoops Hype that the Oklahoma City Thunder, who just acquired Kelly Oubre Jr., and on the heels of acquiring Al Horford in a deal with the Philadelphia 76ers, that the Thunder are now looking to flip Oubre for a first-round pick,
right,
potentially.
Yeah. And that's the thing that was really the hardest part about figuring out the trade. Because it wasn't just Rubio for Paul as much as we tried to break it down like that. Oubre's involved in a deal, and it was always curious, and I said this 100 times. Man, I wonder what they would be able to get just for Oubre.
Right.
What could they get for Oubre?
Did you almost say Oubreo?
Oubreo, I did. What could they get for Oubreo?
Did you just almost combine Oubre and Rubio and come up with Oubreo?
Oubreo. What could they get for Oubreo? Yeah.
Sorry, I thought that was really funny. Oubreo, that's good. That's really good. What could they get for Oubre?
I mean, that's
right.
The thing. I always wanted, you know, I was always curious. What were they going to get for him? If Oklahoma City turns him into a good pick, okay, say Oklahoma City is able to trade him to the Golden State Warriors to replace Klay Thompson.
For the second pick in the draft.
Yeah, then you'd be like, oh, man, I would have rather have the second pick in the draft than a 35-year-old point guard. Like, I mean, you start to think that way. Like, could I have given them anything else besides, you know, Ricky Rubio to make the deal done? Maybe I would have gave him another future pick. There's just a lot of things you could have looked at if they would have been able to trade Oubre somewhere else. Got to see what happens, though. We got to see where he goes.
Another trade in advance of the NBA draft tonight, according to Adrian Wojnarowski. Houston is trading Trevor Ariza, who they just acquired in the Covington deal. They're sending Ariza and the 16th pick that they just acquired in the Portland deal to Detroit for a future first-round pick.
Ariza ends up in Detroit.
Yep, so the 16th pick and Ariza that they just got for Covington are now on their way to Detroit. The deal gives the Rockets, a team that's really up against the cap, the freedom to use their mid-level exception in free agency. So basically, to save some money, they shuffled on Trevor Ariza and the pick. When we come back, Kyler Murray and the Cardinals have caught the attention of the rest of the NFL. Tomorrow night on the national stage yet again, what can they do with a win? That's coming up here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.